Here we go. Well, good morning. Here we are again. Beautiful Sunday morning. Jesus' birth announced and anticipated. That's the scripture text for today. The central truth is Christians rejoice in the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. So whenever we, of course, when you begin to think of Christmas, hopefully, we understand that Christmas is about Christ and everything else is secondary. And in the lessons that we have leading up to next Sunday, we have this, well, last week we started with the Elizabeth and Zechariah and how that the angel told Zechariah that he was going to have a son and they were to name him John, and this all happened whenever he was in the temple. And, you know, he was kind of doubtful, and the angel said, well, you can't talk until your son's born. So maybe we should send some people into the temple and see what happens. But anyhow, they probably want me to talk more, David, talk more. But anyhow, while Elizabeth waited for the birth of John, the angel Gabriel then appeared to Mary. So I think how that, it's interesting how that God can prepare things always in order, and how that he prepares them to support one another, to support each, you know, like Elizabeth's pregnancy. You know, she's an older woman, and Mary is her cousin, and I believe somewhere in here I have it that when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, it was an 80-mile trip. So 80 miles on in a cart or on a donkey or whatever, or by foot, that's quite a, you know, that's a few days journey, and you know, it's not paved roads, and Motel 6 wasn't open, and so that, you know, that was a long journey for her to go through. And so anyhow, Mary, Elizabeth is pregnant, and Mary then goes to see Elizabeth. So it's like helping support one another, and both of them are miraculous conceptions, except Elizabeth and Zechariah, of course, as a husband and wife. Mary's conception is divine by the Holy Spirit. So Luke records more of the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus than anyone else. And, you know, Luke, of course, is a physician, and it is thought that he probably interviewed Mary about what happened and how that, you know, all this took place, because he would have been interested in this. I mean, you know, he accepted it by faith, but he also was concerned about how it all took place, and so perhaps that's why he is more in depth about the birth of Jesus than any of the other Gospels. So we see how that Luke and how that Mary and Elizabeth and all of their lives, you know, especially Mary and Elizabeth, how that their lives were entwined at this time. And probably Mary didn't see Elizabeth again. You know, she's a cousin, but she lives 80 miles away, so it would take a major journey for them to get together, and Elizabeth is an older woman. So anyhow, the first part is the announcement to Mary, and this is in Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, it's interesting because in the sixth month from Elizabeth's announcement, and in Elizabeth's announcement, it was in the reign of a certain king. So you have the sequence of events following them that you would have an idea when John, the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, was announced to them. And then 6 months later, you have the announcement coming to Mary. So we have the sequence, and then you have a relative time period in which these things took place. Well, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph. of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, I remember years ago when all the different translations were starting to come out, you know, you had the King James Version, and then you had the New King James Version. Oh, I don't even think that came around. It was like the Living Bible and different translations came out. And one of the keys was, if you wanted to find out the authenticity of the scripture, was to go to this passage and read it. Did it say that she was a virgin, or did it say something else? You know, how did it portray the birth, the conception of Jesus? And it was very important, because some of the versions didn't translate it as it is in the King James, and as it is known today through other, going back to other Greek text or Aramaic text. So 6 months before Gabriel appeared to Mary, he appeared to Elizabeth. And Gabriel is one of the two angels mentioned in the Bible. There is Gabriel and there is Michael. So you have the two highest ranking angels of heaven are the ones that are mentioned here. Again, whenever you are looking at angels and so on in heaven, they are like a military ranking. You know, you have those, the big bosses, and you have the smaller bosses, and, you know, the commander in chief, and the, you know, 4-star, 3-star, whatever generals, and then you have the foot soldiers, you know. But all the foot soldiers, the least of the angels is stronger than the greatest of men. And the least of the angels with the authority of Jesus, you know, Gabriel, Michael the archangel, when he was confronted with Satan, he confronted Satan, he said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. So Michael the archangel did not rely upon his power to do battle with Satan. He relied upon the power of God. He reflected, or he was under the authority of God, and used that authority to speak against Satan and to rebuke him for what he was doing. And the same thing goes in our life. The Lord is, you know, God is in us, and the Lord rebuke you, Satan, you know. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we can speak his name and the blood of Christ, and all of that can be there for us to have that strength to resist and to repel the enemy. So it's interesting that the angel visited a young maiden in the city of Nazareth. And the Nazareth, it talks about the city of Nazareth. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament. So somewhere between the ending of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New, Nazareth is established. And the city of Nazareth is basically, they have no value. It's kind of a place where people of poor estate, they live out of Nazareth, because there's places in the scripture that says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, you know, it's just one of those places where no one important would be visiting. So a lowly city, and its citizens were usually scorned and despised to such an extent that this proverb was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so that establishes the city, and kind of establishes when Mary says she's of a low estate, it's meaning that she has no authority and represents no one of authority, and her family has no authority, and they come from a town where no one there has any authority. It's like, you know. So, Luke 1:27, Mary is espoused or betrothed to or engaged to Joseph. Usually the betrothal was as legally binding as marriage. It would be considered, like we would look at it as an engagement today, but betrothal was as binding as marriage, that it was as if they were married, but they weren't married, but they weren't living together. So Joseph was a godly and pious man. He was a descendant of King David. Mary was a pure and chaste as Joseph, and she was prudent and wise, and she was a descendant of David. So both Mary and Joseph are in the lineage of King David. Mary was considered to be highly favored. She was blessed by the favor of God. And, you know, I often, you know, we hear the scripture about David, that he was a man after God's own heart. Often that has been interpreted is that God was after David because of his heart. But it was David who was a man searching after God's heart. So he longed to be with God. He longed to be in touch with God and pray. And so this represents the picture of Mary. She was that type of an individual who loved God and was very interested in doing what was right and being a chaste woman being a person who was searching for God and wanting to do the right thing. One of the things between Zachariah and Mary, Mary was troubled. I mean, you know, it's like in the words that talk about Mary is that she wondered, you know, she pondered, she thought, well, how can this be? Well, Zachariah, his was more of a doubt. You know, the words that are associated with Zachariah, and after Gabriel told him the message, it was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, my wife's too old. I'm too old. We're not going to have kids. What are you talking about? Okay. you can just be quiet for next 9 months. So, anyhow, that's a little bit about these individuals at that point. So Luke chapter 1, do you have any questions? Any thoughts? Verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." There again, the verses 30 and 28 basically speak unto the same idea, you are favored. So God is here because, you know, whenever we define mercy, the word mercy is highly favored. You know, so the mercy of God is upon us, and it's highly favored. So the favor of God, in this case, highly favored, is something even up more, I don't know how you can say, of a greater intensity, of a greater degree, because of Mary's heart and because of Mary's life and her devotion to God. So she is in this know-nothing community, of no estate, and there's nothing going on in Nazareth. But what goes on in Mary's life is her devotion to God. And so because of that devotion to God, we have this, as it were, this highly favored declaration that the angel, again, makes. So when any time the Bible says something double, it isn't just simply repeating itself. It's of emphasis. It's putting more emphasis upon it. It's like, hear ye, you know. listen up. You know, it's not just listen. It's listen. So in this case, it's doubly favored that is upon Mary. And thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wow. Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it according unto me Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. So I'm sure that Mary, and as with most of the people in that region at that time, they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for God to show up and take care of the nation and drive out the enemy, the Romans. Now, whether Mary, of course she doesn't understand the extent to which all this is going to happen, but she does. So with any journey, it begins with the first step, and the first step was agreeing that, wow, I must receive into myself what God has spoken about me. Now, coming from a very poor family, a family with no social standing, she has to believe that what the angel has said about her is that she is highly favored. She is favored of God. And, for us, it's the same way. We can't discredit ourselves because of where we come from or our lack of abilities or what happened, didn't happen. We have to accept what God tells us about this, about the situation. We are favored. Well, we're not putting ourselves as equal with Mary, but we have that favor of God, which is God's mercy upon our life. And so as we seek after God, as we read the scriptures and, meditate on the Lord and on the text, we find that the favor of God and the mercy of God is actually speaking to our hearts. So, what else we have here? Her deep piety, her sense of responsibility, her mature intelligence. She would give birth to the one who would be called by many names, most of them being divine titles. And the first is the name Jesus. It's hard to think, but Jesus was a very common name at that time. It was the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means deliverer. So the people were wanting a deliverer. And so they would name their child Jesus or Joshua because, it's like Bob or Mary, these were common names, but they were looking for a Messiah, wanting someone to deliver them. I think that there was no, and they didn't know. They were wanting it to happen, but the religious leaders were too busy being religious leaders. Right. I mean, John the Baptist, if the religious leaders had listened to the talk from the communities and listen to what was going on, that, and here's Zechariah. I mean, he's a priest in Jerusalem. He's at the temple. And, he can't speak, and, somebody needs to pay attention to this. What's going on here? It's a miracle. Well, they just kind of passed it off. Must have, because they didn't follow up on it. And then when Mary goes to Elizabeth, I'm sure the communities were talking, here's this woman who's pregnant and she's not married and she's come up here to be with this woman who's pregnant and old. Something's going on here. But, it made the gossip column, but not the religious news. That's a good thing. Made the religious column, but not didn't make the religious column, made the gossip news, so. There we go. So Jesus was his name. Gabriel called Jesus the Son of the Highest. And the unclean spirits that spoke in Mark chapter 5, verse 7, called Jesus the Son of the Most High God. So all the angels and deities of heaven, and all the demons of hell and Satan himself, they know Jesus. They know who he is. And they are the devils, the demons are terrified of him, and the angels adore and reverence and praise him. Gabriel's announcement that Jesus would occupy the throne of David has yet to be fulfilled. So what they are talking of here and speaking of when Jesus comes, that he is coming at that time, but he is also, his mission is not going to be completed entirely at this time. It's still in future. He will occupy the throne of David. In all scripture statements concerning the coming of Jesus, there is a mixture of reference to his first coming and his second coming. He has come as Savior. He has yet to come as King. I like this next statement. It says, Gabriel's response to Mary's question, how shall these things be? Gabriel's response to her question was not so much an explanation as it was an affirmation. He affirmed to her that the son she would bear would be divine, not of human origin. He affirmed this to her. This is not normal. This is divine. And as if to assure Mary of the miraculous nature of her conception, Gabriel said Elizabeth had conceived in a miraculous manner also. And Elizabeth conceived in a natural manner, and Mary, her conception is to be of a supernatural manner. But I think the character of Mary, I mean, you know, I think I did a sermon on that years ago about Mary. But the character of Mary is like verse 38. Mary's, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Be unto me according to thy word. So there was no doubt. There was no question. There's like no pretense. There's no, well, you know, what do I get out of this? Is there, you know, and it's just like, you know, it's her nature to be accepting. It's like, this can't be true. Zachariah, you know. You know, my wife, you don't know my wife. You don't know my wife. And Zachariah, angel says, be quiet. It's almost like his wife saying, Zachariah, what are you talking about? So, that's a little humor, very little. Mary visits Elizabeth. It's the next section. I want to get to what I consider my most important part, and hopefully I can get there. Mary arose. I'll be the one who determines it if I just keep going. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So, there, remember, this section is, I think, one. The section of what happens here in this meeting and in the discourse of what is said, that it's more than just the words. It's the Holy Spirit, and it's the power of God emphasizing and confirming the message, okay? And even confirming the message before the message is given. We find that it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation, the baby leaped in her womb. I remember a sermon that I heard on this thing that in our lives, whenever God has given us a promise, when something of a supernatural thought or promise has been dropped into our lives, it's like the babe in the manger. It's like the babe in the womb, and that every time we sense that or hear that same thing again, it's like the babe leaps in the womb. It's like the promise comes alive, and this is what Elizabeth, you know. one interpreter had it that Mary, the John hadn't really stirred in the womb yet, and they wondered if he was alive. But there's nothing that goes one way or the other on that. But we do know that when Mary greets Elizabeth, John he's alive, and he is filled with the Spirit. Now, filled with the Spirit, both John and his mother. It's not like on the day of Pentecost, but it's like the divine impartation that God did throughout the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come in visitations upon individuals. And like Samson, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and he grabbed the city gates and ripped them off the hinges and carried them up over the hill, you know. So there was divine visitations, and there would be times of prophecy in which the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophet, and they would speak, and they would speak the message of God, but they would be speaking things that they had no idea. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, Isaiah. You know, where did that come from? That would have to be the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Well, this is what is going on here with Elizabeth and Mary whenever they meet. Verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So we have Elizabeth just bursting forth with this declaration about Mary. It's like, whoa, you know, she hasn't been told anything. Mary didn't send a letter. I'm coming, and I have a divine baby in my womb. Be prepared. No, they just met, and Elizabeth also was, you know, she was in seclusion because, you know, of the promise, and she's pregnant, she's an older woman, and she's just staying in the house. And as soon as she hears this, you know, this inspiration, this divine inspiration comes, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I mean, that's like, whoa, you know, blessed. This is God speaking through Elizabeth. And, you know, here's Mary. She's 15 years old, 16, somewhere in there. She's probably never been outside of her little village of nothingness. And in, you know, her small home, and where would she go? And maybe you know, if they prayed, they probably weren't allowed in the synagogue, and I probably didn't have a synagogue in the city of Nazareth. Excuse me, yeah. So in the city of Nazareth. So where did she go? She was a devout, loving person. She loved God. And so she's affirming to Mary who she is and what has happened. And no one told her. And whence is this to me? You know, and here's Elizabeth saying, what is it to me that you, the mother of my Lord, should come? So she knows. She knows that that Mary is carrying this, the you know, Jesus, the Son of God, the mother of my Lord. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped. So she, you know, it's like, when her husband comes back from the his service in Jerusalem, he can't talk. Maybe he can't even hear. One of the commentators said that he was deaf and he couldn't speak. And so, you know, here's Elizabeth pondering all this that's going on in her life, and her husband, he won't tell her anything. Imagine that. You know, that's what's wrong. We're under divine mission. You can't talk and we can't hear. Amen. Yes. Oh well. But anyhow, She has no one to talk this over with, and she's meditating, she's praying, she's, you know, in her worship of God, and whenever Mary comes in, it all comes together, and boom, this comes out. Blessed is she that believeth. And that's important because Mary believed what the angel said. Be it unto me according to thy word. I mean, if we could have that position. Be it unto me according to your promise. No questions. Nothing else enters into the picture. It will be as you have said. Oh no, you know, it's not going to be easy. Yeah. That's confirmation for both individuals. You know, for Elizabeth, you know, what is my child going to be? You know, here I am, this old woman. How am I going to take care of? How am I going to have a baby? And how am I going to raise my son? You know, and will I live long enough to raise my son? And here's Mary, you know, no husband, and she's got a child. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You believed them, and what was told you from God is going to happen. And Mary said, now this is where you want to, you know, why was Mary chosen? Remember the kid, the 16, we'll say she's 16, from Nazareth. A low society place where nothing good ever comes out of the place. And she's in a home there, in her family's home, and probably it's a 10 by 10 structure because that would be a poor person's home. And one room, maybe a separate kitchen, maybe, and it was all enclosed and under one roof. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. So she's been thinking about this and how that's been going on. And here she has this, you know, has Elizabeth's salutation. And she just begins, my soul magnifies God. You know, it's just beyond comprehension. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, For Protestants, this is where we know that she is talking about a Savior, meaning that she would need forgiveness. So she is not divine. She is human. And Jesus is her Savior as he is our Savior. And so, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. He's looked at where I've come from. He's looked at who I am. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Now, this isn't an arrogant thing. This is a realization thing that I am nothing from nowhere, but yet, because of what has happened, I will be recognized as being blessed of God. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. He that is mighty, God who is mighty, hath done to me great things. Holy is his name. So you see, I mean, it is just the reverence that she has, the piety that she has, the surrender that is in her life. This just didn't happen after the angel talked to her. This was part of who she is. And now it comes out. This is what's going on in her. Holy is his name. And his mercy. Remember? You are highly favored. You are highly favored. And then she says, and his mercy is on them that fear him. So that which God has given to me, the favor, is also upon them that fear him from generation to generation. It's mercy to me, but it's mercy to everyone else. He has shown strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath emptied away. So it's like this is the promise of God given in Mary's exaltation and what's going on. And then she goes into this, you know, the strength of God to take care of everything. You know, the people in Nazareth would have felt oppressed. No, they got the raw end of the deal, the short end of the stick, whatever you want to call it. And they were living in a know-nothing town. But that wasn't the attitude of Mary. He has shown strength with his arm. This, the God who has done this for me, with me, in me, he, you know, the strength of his arm, he scattered the proud. and he scattered them, he scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. Being lost in their own imaginary world. The proud. They're caught up in what they think they are. I remember my one friend used to say, "Do you know how important I think I am?" Yeah. They don't know how important I think I am, you know? And of course, he was always joking, but, you know, that's kind of what goes on with the proud here. And he hath put down the mighty. So those who have gone to the mighty seats, the seats of authority, he's put them down. And the people of low degree, well, he's just lifted them up. And the hungry, he's given them good things. The rich, he sent them away with nothing. I want to read this one. This is from the Phillips translation with Mary's Mary's the Magnificat. My heart is overflowing with praise of my Lord. My soul is full of joy in God my Savior. For he has designed, and that's not the right word. He has stooped down to notice me. His humble servant, and after this, all the people who ever shall be will call me the happiest of all women. The one who can do all things has done great things for me. Oh, holy is his name. Truly his mercy rests on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has swept away the high and mighty. He has set kings down from their thrones and lifted up the humble. He has satisfied the hungry with good things, sent the rich away with empty hands. Yes, he has helped Israel, his child. He has remembered the mercy that he promised to our forefathers, to Abraham and his sons forevermore. So, I think, you know, this is one of, when you read the Christmas story, often this is not part of it. We talk about in Bethlehem, you know, born in a manger and things like that. But the heart, I think, of the Christmas story, well, the heart of the story of the birth of Jesus is Mary. Before, you know, and then we have Jesus coming on the scene. And Mary is a very, very, very special woman. You know, I don't believe she's not divine, but she is a very special person because she's the one chosen of all women who's ever lived. She is the one chosen to be the mother, bear the child, Jesus. So she is a special lady, but she's not divine, and we don't pray to her. And she is not an immaculate conception. Those things, you know, people who have been, I think, see what she has written and what the praise is for her, they've been swept away with that and take her to a different level. But I think of her as this, she's a person who knows who she is. And once the angel and the Holy Spirit and all this comes together, it affirms all of her faith and all of her belief. because she's going to need this for the rest of her life, especially in the ministry of Jesus. So, any thoughts? Yes. Yeah. Yep. She's just like David, a woman who searches after God's heart. What is right in God's heart? You know, that's what we see in Mary. Yeah. Her steps of obedience. I go back to that, the verse, the text that says, be it unto me according to thy word. You know, what you have said, let it be in my life. And those are the things that are like us, that we need to be that submissive or that understanding that when the scripture speaks specifically to us. Now, we can't go through and, you know, you had to pray the scripture of the day. Oh, I want this one, and oh, I want this one. No, there are times that God speaks his word to our heart. The aha moment when the babe leaps in the womb. You know, when Elizabeth, when John the baptizer, who is to be John the baptizer in the womb of Elizabeth, when she hears the message, hears the voice of Mary, the babe leaps in her womb. Well, when you have that scripture in front of you in it, and that truth leaps within your spirit, that's God speaking to you. And that's where we have to, and be it unto me according to thy word. Now, how long do we have to wait for it? Maybe a day, maybe 9 months, maybe 10 years, maybe a lifetime. But you see, we never lose sight of the promise. That's what I take from this whole understanding of Mary and her allowing this all to take place in her life. It's, you know, you could spend a lifetime just meditating on this and thinking about it, and Jesus emulates this, you know, beyond what Mary does, but it's there for us. So I like the lesson. Thank you, Father. We thank you for knowing who we are and what place we come from. And you call us by your Spirit and your word. You speak to us. And God, may we respond as Mary. Be it unto us, unto me, according to your word. So let your word speak to us. May we meditate upon it day and night. Lord, may it be that light to our path, and Lord, a calmness to our spirit, strength to our hearts, and a determination to our will, that we see the promise before us, and it will guide us through the darkest times. It will bring us to the fulfillment of your word in our hearts and lives, and to the fulfillment of your word in this world that we live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.